Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here this week, would you believe it, with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
It is such a pleasure to be here in the podcasting studio.
I thought you were going to say podcastle.
I wish I did now. No, I don't. I would have hated myself.
No, I wish you said
instead, I hate you, Dave.
Podcastle. Sounds fun.
Pod asshole.
That sounds less fun. Jess Perkins, you're not talking?
She's shaking her head.
I mean, they can't see you shaking your head.
If you say no to you're not talking, you should say that with words.
No.
Got her.
No, I'm not talking.
I'm not talking. Well, earlier Dave said that he doesn't need me and he turned my microphone off, so I'm not going to talk this entire episode, even though it's my report week.
Right, this is going to make for a weird ep.
Hand over the laptop.
No, I don't trust you.
I'll do the reading here.
No, you'll look at my bookmarks.
what are they? Sexy and porn?
Sexyporn.com.
Oh, I wonder if that exists. Quick, Matt, check.
If it doesn't, I'll look.
All right, sexyporn.com. Yep. And if it doesn't exist, that's how I'm going to make my millions.
Sexyporn.com.
All right.
Oh, well, if this doesn't work, we'll try .org.
All right, because that's more likely. .org is super sexy.
Sexyporn.com. Is a thing.
Oh, how sexy is it?
Very unsexy.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's like a real estate website.
It looks pretty shit. I don't want to click on any links, to be honest.
All right, try sexyporn.org.
Okay.
And this will be our new website.
Okay, great.
Matt, you up for this?
No. What are we going to talk about? We've got a Melbourne show coming up very soon, live show. It's our Bon Voyage show.
Matt, do you really think that trumps porn talk?
Yeah, come on, mate.
Sexyporn.org, yes?
It exists. Oh, no. This website is for sale.
Yes, how much? Put in a bid. $69. Your offer has been accepted.
Yeah, clicked the right amount.
All right, Matt. Now, we do have to tell everyone that we are doing a show in just over 2 weeks in Melbourne, our Bon Voyage show for our UK tour.
That's right. There'll be details below, but there are still some tickets available. It's going to be a real fun time. It's at Howler, place where St. Vincent has played, and the Peep Temple.
It's a real rock and roll venue.
Are you forgetting The Killers?
Oh, and The Killers, sure.
And Do Go On.
We will totally be. It's our last show for the year in Melbourne.
Yes, probably our last show for quite a while.
Yeah, so come on down. Love to have you in.
And then out.
And then in.
Oh, Dave.
And well, so I assume you went to the bar, got a drink, came back.
Yeah, good point.
From when we finish the show, we're going to jump straight on a boat all the way to the UK.
Yes, and then 7 weeks later, we'll record another episode.
So come wave us a bon voyage.
Are we getting on a boat?
Yeah, it's super, I assume so.
Super cheap.
I thought, is it like a cruise fun boat or like
yeah.
a...
It's a cruise fun boat, yeah.
Oh, thank God. I'd get on a boat if it's a cruise fun boat.
There's a pool and water slides.
Actually, I wouldn't because I don't think their staff gets treated very well and I'd feel bad. But also I'd be like, make me another cocktail, Rodrigo.
I think it's just you not treating their staff well.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. And I'd do that on land too.
You call every barkeep Rodrigo.
Imagine you turning off my microphone. I am on fire. Already. I mean,
the strangest thing is your microphone is off.
Yeah. I'm that loud. I'm squishing up my face on Matt, so I'm using his microphone.
Yeah, you're going. It's like you're doing like a, you know.
Sonny and Cher.
Oh, yes.
Johnny Cash and.
No, Cher's always your reference. Stay there. That's great.
Yeah. I got you, babe.
Da, 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 da.
I got you, babe.
We broke Matt.
Hey, you guys, are you pumped up for Block Snober?
Oh. Okay, you're trying something different every time, and I love it!
That's great, because it's so hot, it's ice cold. You know that thing? Anyway, Blocktober, what do we call it?
I mean, you've got to register that trademark.
Yeah.
Blocktober.
Blocktoberfest.
Blocktoberfest.
Blocktober Buster.
Right, yeah, that's right, Blocktober Buster. So it's next month. Which is coming up real bloody soon now.
So soon.
Is going to be all bangers, no fangers. Wait, mm-hmm. Is fangers bad? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're all going to be some of the biggest topics, and they've been decided by our listenership, which is you probably, unless you're a first-time listener. And then if that is the case, well done for getting this far in.
And we'll get to the good stuff.
No doubt. So that'll be coming up next week. There's nothing you have to do now except sit back and bloody enjoy. But we can't wait to get them to you. And the whole month is going to culminate in the biggest and most requested topic of all time.
It's going to be a mega episode.
Mega.
Dave, have a go at saying something interesting.
That was so low.
Darth Vader's last breath.
Wow.
Darth Vader's last fart. And he's gone.
People often ask, how do you describe the show? And we try every week. And a while ago, I asked our patrons to have a go at describing the show in one sentence or two. And this is the one that got the most likes from other patrons.
Is this one sentence or two?
Two. It's from Tom Novakovic. And he says...
Novakovic.
He says... The show is three comedians take. He says three comedians. I'm going to read it as written.
Okay.
This is the one that was most liked.
Yep.
Three comedians take in turn to report on a topic suggested by a listener. One has a great beard. One has a great laugh. And one is Dave.
Okay. Let's see if we can figure out who's who there. So I think the one with a great laugh is Dave.
Yeah. I'm assuming... Dave is me.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I've got the beard.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. You
got it.
Thumbed us up well.
Yeah.
Thumbed us up the butt well.
Yeah.
Ooh, real good. Jess is nodding profusely. Nod profusely? Well, yes. Jess just did.
This week it's time for the beard to report. So, Jess?
Yes. It is my turn.
And the way we get onto topic is with a question.
And I wrote the question. Like not right at the last second. Before we started, I had written maybe a paragraph and I thought, oh, that's a question I can eat. And then I went back and I wrote it and then I put it in bold. Are you proud or what?
Very, very proud.
Thank you. I deserve your pride.
Thank you.
Of lions. Give them to me.
They're yours.
Okay. They're all yours.
Give them to me. So my question is, what two unlikely professions had a riot in Toronto in
1855? Too unlikely. So probably not wrestlers. And
How about astronauts?
Okay.
And
in 1855?
And IT people. Because it's so unlikely because they didn't exist yet.
You know, we got where you were going with that. You didn't need to explain your joke.
That is unlikely.
There.
Well, is that a joke? I thought he was just having a very good guess.
It's also inaccurate. It's not the answer.
I'm going to say horses and carts. Because they work so well together.
True. But sometimes, like, being too close to something.
Yeah, right.
Like you and I.
Yeah.
Sometimes we clash.
Yeah, we do.
Oof. Fireworks. No, wait. Fireworks are great.
Are we any way of getting...
Yeah, well, is there
any
a
chance
way?
Of getting this?
No, nah, I don't think so. Because I hadn't heard of it, and it has only been suggested by one person. And the two unlikely professions are firefighters and clowns.
Okay. Oh, that is unlikely.
No, I would have said that is one of the most likely.
Why is that? Walk me through your logic there.
Okay. Have you never seen a clown firefighter mocking the noble profession of firefighting?
Wow, with the little...
It was only a matter of time before they got their comeuppance. And that matter of time was 150 years ago.
Wow.
Or so, or less, whatever the year was.
1855. Dave, do the math.
I disgraced myself last week and I...
Oh, it shook you.
Stop doing maths from now on.
Are you shooken?
I'm shooked.
You got a shook.
I'm also bad at English.
163, I think. Anyway.
So it was the summer of 1855. Toronto was growing very, very quickly. 40,000 people lived in the city now, and new immigrants were flooding into the area all the time. We had the very first railway setting up. Population was set to double over the next two decades. So it's booming. It's growing. It's flourishing.
It's hip. It's hop. It's happening.
Exactly.
It's hop and happening.
It's hop and happening all at once. But in a lot of ways, it was still a rough pioneer town.
Hmm.
There were 152 taverns in the town.
Wow.
Plus 203 beer shops on top of that.
beer stops.
Sounds like a big pub crawl.
On the way to the, oh, we better stop off for a beer at this beer stop.
Oh, God. Yeah, that you'd die in that pub crawl. Anyone would.
No, I'd live.
203.
That'd be real living. Well, yeah, depending on the rules. I mean, sure, you don't have to drink at every stop.
You could just look at it. But still, that's a big day, walking.
Yeah, that's true.
No, thank you.
That's a lot of walking.
Unless you could space that pub crawl out into like 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Just most weekends to get in like 10, you know?
Yeah.
Have a look at them. Have a squiz.
Yeah, just a quick look.
Oh, it's a boring hobby. Just walking around looking at buildings.
I'm going on a pub crawl really soon.
Are you?
And I'm not drinking at the moment.
Yep.
You're going to have a great time or a terrible time.
I'm going to vote terrible time.
But that night I'm seeing Mark Lanegan play. So, you know.
Swings and roundabouts, baby. And a lot of soda waters.
Oh, yeah.
Yum, yum, yum. Anyway, so there's lots of taverns, lots of beer, lots of drinking. It's
That's
a
like
rough
one,
town.
One tavern and or beer stop for, shop for like every 30 people.
Yeah. It's.
I imagine some of those are kids.
Great imagination.
Like three kids.
Probably. And on top of that as
Do
well.
Do I know what's causing it?
Oh, now I feel weird saying this next sentence. On top of that as well, there were brothels. Toronto had quite a lot of brothels at the time as well. So on the night of the 12th of July, 1855, members of the Hook and Ladder Firefighting Company descended on the house of Mary Ann Armstrong on King Street. And according to newspaper stories from the day, this house of Mary Ann Armstrong was suspected of being a house of ill fame.
Hmm.
I think.
So what, comedians that are over the hill?
Yeah.
Doing their shows from the 80s?
Yeah, and it's like, and they.
It's a bit sad.
So sad. And poor taste jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I get that it was a different time, but like, move with the times.
Yeah. That's ill fame for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. So that's exactly what's happening in this house too. Firefighting at the time was more of like a social club rather than a profession.
Just a lot of splashing each other.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of slow-mo
montages.
It's really fun.
Having a great time. It's a frat party of firefighters.
The volunteers were often rough and tumble types. There was no central public government run fire department. There was just sort of different fire people.
Guys.
Fire
and
guys.
Girls.
I don't think there were many girls. So when a fire broke out.
Three. Then there were kids.
All the kids, yeah. All the kids were girls. Weirdly.
Three young kids.
When a fire broke out, all the companies who were nearby rushed to the scene with their horse-drawn engines to get there first and call dibs. So it wasn't like, well, that, not like now where you just call 000 here or 911 and they send out a fire brigade. This was like first in best dress. couple of weeks earlier. Right,
they're battling it out to be the first.
Exactly. Well, a couple of weeks earlier.
Free market.
The Hook and Ladders had arrived at a fire on Church Street at the same time as another brigade. And a fight broke out. So while a building is burning, two sets of firefighters, people who could put out the fire, are instead fighting one another.
So if you put it out, you get paid or something.
Must do. They're volunteers. I don't know. You get the glory. Yeah, maybe that's it.
It seems weird. If it's not, then otherwise why not just all fight it together?
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, just fight it together. But
great. We've got two barrels of water now. Like, that seems to make more sense, right?
Yeah.
Barrels of water. My understanding of firefighting is pretty sophisticated. Thank you. So when the police showed up at that fight, they got pulled into the brawl as well. So it was a big...
Hullabaloo?
Hullabaloo is a perfect word, Matt. Thank you for that. In the end, the firemen were charged with assault, and the battle became known as the Firemen's Riot. So the Hook and Ladder Boys were no strangers to violence. Meanwhile, a touring show from the US called S.B. Howe's Star Troop Menagerie and Circus. I struggled. Why did I struggle so hard?
What did you just say?
I'm not sure.
What did you say to me?
Menagerie.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
That's a place where people eat birds.
A menagerie? It's where they eat birds.
As I understand it, yep.
And so it's that and a circus.
It's a collection of wild animals kept in captivity for exhibition, brackets, and eating. I made up the bracketed part.
Right, there we go.
It's like a KFC, really.
So this touring show, so yes, they've got caged animals and exotic animals and there's a circus. They rolled into town a couple of days earlier and the circus was done for the night and the clowns had the rest of the night off. So they decided to take advantage of the local nightlife. They picked a brothel near the corner of King and Jarvis and settled in to have some fun. But the rest of the night wouldn't go as planned.
When you catch up with mates and you say nightlife,
yeah.
Where are you heading to?
Probably a pub, a bar, a karaoke place.
Yep.
I'd like to go see some live music.
Yep.
Sometimes just a restaurant.
Sure.
Have a meal and have a chat and catch up.
A fair way down your list. We still haven't got to brothel.
Oh, I'm nowhere near that. Sometimes I just like to go to their house and then we just get some takeaway or we cook.
Takeaway brothel?
No, food.
Okay.
And we just catch up, watch a movie maybe. Oh, movies. Go to the movies.
10-pin bowling.
Bowling, go to a play, go to...
arcade.
An arcade is fun.
Magic show.
Oh, it's the
magic show.
The weather's nice, just go sit in a park. That's lovely.
Right.
You know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never caught up with mates at a brothel before, but I was just wondering if that was your experience too.
Yeah. Dave, what's your thing to do with your friends?
I already said it, magic show.
Right, of course. Sorry, stupid question.
There's only one choice for me.
Yep, and we
close
know that.
Close up magic?
Yeah. Oh.
Up close magic.
Up close.
Which do you prefer, close up or up close?
Up close and personal.
Yeah.
I'm part of the act.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
a volunteer.
Big time.
Basically a volunteer firefighter, but with magic.
Okay. So hang on a sec. Do you go to like magic shows and just like walk out onto the stage?
Yeah, I'm like... I assume you need a volunteer at some point, so let's cut the crap. I'm here.
I imagine you get nothing but resistance from the people you drag out of the audience, yeah. But I am willing to help you.
I'm happy. Everyone, give me a round of applause.
And do they?
Sometimes.
Oh.
Sometimes I get asked to leave.
I reckon people would think you're a plant. Some sort of a plant. You would have ruined
like a fern.
Yeah.
I am often mistaken for a fernery. Or a menagerie. Fernery.
I find plants are so weird, and unless you're going to really hide it well, someone shared a clip of Andre Rieu recently where he's talking to someone in the audience. He's going, "You're wearing all red," and then for some reason she shows her bras red as well. You see this?
Yeah.
You're nodding like, I can't believe someone else has seen this. Why is this being shared around?
I don't know. I just saw it today. I only watched like half of it, so this is all I've seen so far.
Can I just interject and say you're both wasting your lives?
Yeah, isn't it? It's a sad indictment on what we're up to, yeah. But... Then, yeah, they're having this backwards and forwards. She was clearly a plant, or it becomes clearer, because he goes, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to play it." And then he starts playing some song, which is some sort of bullfighting song, I guess, because two men in a bull suit come out, and come, and it's a long process. The video, I watched the whole video. I'm like, where? This has got to have a twist. Why has someone shared it? And I'm guessing someone shared it to be very funny and ironic. But anyway, so the bull comes up and it gets up to her, and then she runs like it's a real bull and runs out of the stage, and then it's like pre-recorded up on the screen that she's running out.
That's lame.
It's,
but then again, it's from an Andre Rieu show.
Yeah, I mean, it's the lamest thing in the
world. You should see the reactions of the rest of the crowd. They are blown away.
Yeah, because it's like we were talking about last week with tennis crowds.
Yeah.
Andre Rieu crowds, they give him everything.
Even easier than a tennis crowd? Probably on par.
I would say easier.
Easier?
So easy.
And I'd say there's a lot of overlap.
Those old biddies in his audience are frothing over him. They love him so much.
What does biddy mean?
Imagine Andre Rieu versus Andre Agassi.
Wow.
That crowd.
Biddy means
would die.
Made up of small parts that seem unrelated.
Yep.
Why are you trying to improve your lexicon over
there? Because I always wonder what that means. Is it bitty or biddy?
I would say biddy. Biddy. Type in old biddy.
Oh, biddy. A woman, especially an elderly one, regarded as annoying or interfering.
Yep. I stand by that.
Cop that, Andre Rieu heads.
They're not listening to this. They cannot figure out how to work a podcast. And we haven't done a topic of him, and we never will. So,
all right, next week's episode is
no
Blocktober.
Yeah, the most requested topic was Andre Rieu.
Anyway,
there was this great sketch on an old McAuliffe show. I think it was Newstopia, and he did fake ads in it. He did one as him as Andre Rieu, and he's just like going playing a violin poorly, and then he goes. He says at the end, "Andre, my new album." You'll never forget it, no matter how hard you try. I'm Andre Rieu. But he said it with that fun Austrian accent, whatever it is.
He's Dutch.
Fuck.
Is he?
Dutch.
I think
how do you know everything, Dave?
I mean, look it up.
Do you
I'm
read a lot?
Probably wrong.
No, but like, you just seem to know a lot of things.
About Andre Rieu.
Nah, it's just a good skill to have. Good for you, Dave.
Knowing a lot of things.
Yeah. Matt's probably about to tell me that he's not.
I don't know.
No, I reckon you may. I believe you. I reckon you're right.
I always believe you.
Dutch. He's Dutch.
Dutch.
Dutch. He's Dutch. And
can confirm.
Hello,
Dutch.
I'm Andre Rieu. I'm a Dutch. In it.
I was only supposed to blow the violin's bloody doors off.
That's funny because violins don't have doors, right? Or do they? Oh, my God.
That's what the rest of this report is about.
All right, let's crack the case.
Wow. Doors on tiny violins.
All the big clown heads have tuned in will be going to be getting very frustrated for this. They'd be frothing to get to the bloody...
Frothing.
You haven't even got to a clown yet, have you?
Basically, I think they just went to the brothel
so
for a good night
out. So the clowns
out.
Have gone out, and they're led by a man named Myers. And these were not sad clowns, nor... were they still wearing red noses and big shoes?
Sound like horny clowns.
They were horny clowns. They were when they weren't clowning, like when they weren't performing, they were labourers. They were tough. They were given the hard physical labour of setting up and tearing down the circus tents as it moved from town to town. These are like big dudes. So they're big, scary-looking, tough dudes who have just walked into the same brothel
still wearing
as another
shoes.
Bunch of scary-looking, tough dudes.
Firefighters.
Correct.
What an it? That feels like an interesting mishmash.
Yeah,
the
like
toughness and the clowning.
Yeah.
You think of them as sort of different, I guess, you know, two sides of the same coin.
And
maybe.
The circus was kind of made up of like other types of performers as well, sort of like trapeze. I don't know if they had trapeze, but
they like, had,
like
strong men.
Acrobats and yeah.
Who were, then they were pissed off that the strongmen weren't helping setting up the tent.
Yeah.
What
sense.
Kind of strongman are you? But also like.
Prove it.
So
strong
they're,
guy.
They're real rough guys, and then they're clowns where they're like, laugh at this little kid, all right? Look at my nose, it honks. Laugh at it. Laugh.
I mean, we're in Toronto.
Early days. Haven't got the accent yet.
They're from the US.
Yeah, via North London, innit?
The scene of all, where all clowns are found.
I don't know where that accent's from, if anywhere. It's unearthly in a lot of ways. Innit?
Just to go on.
unearthly. So two groups of big, scary, tough guys are in the same brothel. Of all the brothels in all the towns. Brothel is what I just brothel. Said there. My bad.
Getting a brothel, isn't it?
So no one seems to agree on exactly what happened next. Some blame a particularly loud-mouthed clown, but all agree that a drunk fireman named Fraser accidentally or intentionally scrambled knocked Myers' hat off.
Got it. So they all agree that he either accidentally or unintentionally.
He definitely knocked off the hat. But okay. His intentions are not clear.
And Myers is the leader of the clowns.
He's the leader of the clowns.
You don't mess with the leader.
You don't mess with the leader.
Well, or if you want to take over the clowns, then you'd mess with the leader.
Oh, yeah, it's like your first day of prison.
Yeah. Shank the top clown.
Yep.
That's what they say.
And then you're the top clown.
If you were in a brothel, right, and you saw a clown have its head hat knocked off, you'd be like, this
hat.
Is about to get
just
fun.
A hat. Hat. His head.
Hat knocked off. And you'd be like, all right, what's going to happen here?
He's going to squirt him in the face.
Yeah, all right, get prepared to get wet, mate. All right.
I reckon he's a plant. I reckon that fern over there is a plant.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So Myers told Fraser to pick up the hat, but Fraser didn't. And a full-blown brawl broke out.
A full-blown ball broke out. What are they, like waltzing or what's happening? Andre Rue is playing.
A full-blown brawl. That's hard to say. You have a go.
Full-blown brawl. Easy. Nailed it. What else? Give me another one. Full-blown brawl.
Trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to tell like a Dave Warnocky kind of story where it's fun and, you know, it peaks and shit. And I can't do Dave.
No, it's so excited. So he said basically, pick it up. And
pick
he's like,
up. I'm not
no
picking
way.
It up.
And then
pick up your own.
Who knows, but someone threw a punch and then it was all in.
All in.
Pick up that punch.
So
no.
Big brawl.
Pick this up. Bang.
At least two of the firefighters were seriously injured and needed to be dragged out of the brothel for safety.
Gosh.
So it's like they're quite violent. Apparently the hook and ladder crew eventually retreated and the clowns were left to have a night of sleazy fun.
Right, so they must have obviously won if they're just
another report I read says report, but another like retelling of the story said that the clowns had retreated and run off into the night, so it's hard to say exactly what happened.
Back into their little car.
All 20 of them.
Probably would have been a little horse and cart back then.
Same joke though.
Makes you think though, doesn't it?
Yes.
About how cars are quite a modern invention.
You did also at the start refer to it as a horse-drawn engine.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They've got an engine and they put it on a set of wheels and then get a horse to drag it along.
The first thing that was invented in the car was the engine.
Oh, God, this hasn't helped us at all. All right, get the horse to drag it.
So people are just sitting on this nude engine that's been dragged like that. No wheels.
Very uncomfortable.
It's just a fancy seat. It's worse than other seats.
It's just a fancy, terrible seat.
That's Henry Ford's work for you.
But nobody is 100% sure on who retreated and who was the victor. But what we can say for sure is that the fight that night ended.
It's not still going.
It's like the Korean War technically still happening.
Can confirm it ended at some point.
Whoa.
Don't know how or what time or where.
It kept going until they all died of old age.
But
then their son started.
People are having babies in the fight. And the babies are coming out. What, Matt? Wake up.
Oh, come here, you fucking clown.
You just knocked my placenta off my feet. Oh. I don't understand placentas.
Pick it up. Pick it up.
Pick it up. Oh. Pick it up.
Put it back.
Really?
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure they dispose of these. The battle was over, but the war had just begun.
Ooh.
The boys of the Hook and Ladder were staunch members of the Orange Order, as were most firemen, police, and members of the Toronto political elite. Bit of background on the Orange Order. Heard of the Orange Order at all?
Have not.
No.
Okay, neither had I. So the Orange Order is a Protestant fraternal order based primarily in Northern Ireland. It also has lodges in the Republic of Ireland, a Grand Orange Lodge in Scotland, other lodges throughout the Commonwealth, as well as in the US and West Africa. Its name is a tribute to the Dutch-born Protestant King William of Orange, who defeated the army of Catholic King James II in the Willemite Jacobite War, obviously. We all remember that one, 1688 to 1691.
Yeah.
That was the good war. If anybody says, what's your favourite? I say, Will of my Jacobite. Get out of here. Its members wear orange sashes and are referred to as orange men.
Tough.
It's a bit cute, isn't it? It's imagining little animated oranges handing out little glasses of their juice.
Squeeze.
Yeah, they squeeze their arm and its little juice comes out. Yum.
Scurvy is not a problem.
The order sees itself as defending Protestant civil and religious liberties, while critics have accused the order of being supremacist. And they are a strict Protestant society, does not accept non-Protestants as members unless they convert and adhere to the principles of Orangism. Orangism?
Cool.
Is that what they said?
No, but that's how I said it.
A lot of principles there.
You gotta eat a lot of orange to get orange jism.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot.
6 oranges over in the course of a month.
Oh, that doesn't seem like all that much.
You try.
Yeah, you get to 4 and you're thinking, God.
That's one a week.
Will this ever end?
So you just do like 1 1/4
yeah.
each week.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, nice try.
That's not quite right, is it? Is it? 1 1/2
Well, basically. You also have to eat the skin.
Ah, okay. You didn't mention that. You didn't mention that.
That's the most orange part of all.
Yeah, right. And that's where you get the orange schism. So they don't accept non-Protestants, nor does it accept Protestants married to Catholics. Members have been expelled for attending Roman Catholic religious ceremonies. In the period of 1964 to 2002, 11% of those expelled from the order were expelled for their presence at a Roman Catholic religious event, such as a baptism, a service or a funeral. So you can't even go to a funeral of a friend who's a Roman Catholic.
Wow.
Or you'll get expelled. This is just a bit of background on Orange Order. This is a fun fact. From 1921 to 1968,
sorry?
1921.
I thought you said 1931. Jeez, you really get into that Irish spirit there.
I did that when I went to Ireland. Within 3 hours, my internal monologue was like... an Irish accent. And a guy, I was walking along the street, walking into town, and a guy had a wheelbarrow.
Can you tell this story with an Irish accent?
No.
Damn it.
Because the point of it is that I did speak with an Irish accent. Because he had a wheelbarrow and he moved the wheelbarrow so I could get past, and out loud I said, "Tanks." And then I was like, "Keep walking, you idiot." It just came out.
Thanks.
3 hours I'd been in Ireland. 3 hours. And to
thank you very much there, sir.
To all of our Irish listeners, I would like to apologise for that. But I just want to be part of you. So between the years of 1921 and 1969,
nice. Moon landing.
Did you say moon landing? Oh, yeah. No, 69. Got it.
Woodstock.
Nice.
What a year for history. Nice.
Every Prime Minister of Northern Ireland was an orange man in those years. That's like 46 years, 47 years, 48 years.
You were counting up.
49 years, 50 years, 51 years, 52 years.
Math.
Every one of what?
Prime ministers.
Of Canada.
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
So it comes from Ireland.
Yeah.
As do a lot of these
via Netherlands.
People in Canada now.
Right.
In the
and
story.
You said, because you said their political class is also all... orange.
Yeah. But so the point that I'm making here.
Wonder if Andre Rieu
is that
an orange man.
Could be.
Oh, I don't know.
He does wear a lot of fake tan.
At its peak, which was about 1965, the order's membership was around 70,000, which meant that roughly 1 in 5 adults, Protestant males, were members. So it's a lot of people. And then since 1965, it's lost a third of its membership, especially in Belfast and Derry, and the order's political influence suffered greatly because basically, every prime minister was an orange man and, 87 of the 95 MPs were orange men.
That's crazy. If there's only 1 in 5 people that are men, obviously there's even more people than that voting. So why are they only electing orange men?
So control. So the orange men,
but they're being elected, right? I imagine. Don't know too much about Northern Irish politics, but I imagine that people are voting in the 60s.
Yeah. But this is, yeah. So, and then they start to lose, they're 65. Since 1965, they've lost a third of their membership. And then that unionist-controlled government of Northern Ireland was abolished in 1973. So as of 2012, the estimated membership of the Orange Order was around 34,000. So that just gives some context on the power and reach of this group,
in
a more modern context. But if we go back to 1855, so those firemen.
That's Wayne's World in an Irish accent.
Yeah. Those firemen had a lot of friends, right, because in those days Toronto was still pretty much entirely run by the Orange Order. So the firemen were all members. They hung out together at the Orange Lodge and made sure that other orange men got all the important jobs in the city, because it was all, then they just all help each other out.
I see.
Yeah. So the police.
It's not what your orange know, it's who your orange know.
Exactly. All the police were pretty much all orange men. And there was this ongoing influx of Catholic Irish fleeing famine at home. So they're coming to what is now Canada. It wasn't even Canada then. I don't know. It wasn't fully Canada, I think. I could be wrong. That's what I read. So there's lots of like Irish.
Well, I think they celebrated 150 years last year.
Yeah.
So this is just before that.
Yeah. So a lot of Irish Catholics coming over, which just meant that there were fights and riots between Orange supporters and the new arrivals. There were riots all the time. And, like, the Orange men would be beating up Catholics. So the day after the fight at the brothel, it was Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
A crowd began to gather around SB Howe's Star Troop Menagerie and Circus. The troop had pitched their tents at the Fair Green, which is a big grassy space on the waterfront, just a few blocks east of the St. Lawrence Market. And there was all these farmers and merchants who'd set up stalls at the market, and they were told to clear out because trouble was brewing. When the police chief, a guy called Samuel Sherwood, heard of the commotion, he sent six of his police constables down to deal with it. Now, there's two main resources that I've used for this part, and they have very similar information, but one is definitely written by someone really focusing on the Orange Order part of the story. So I'll give you an example. One of them says Sherwood was a hapless non-entity who had been a tavern owner before securing his position through political connections. Okay, that seems fine. The other one says, but of course the chief of police, Samuel Sherwood, was an orange man. That's how he got to be chief of police. So he was given this job previously.
Sounds like a bloody catho.
A catho?
Yeah. It's what us orange people call the Catholics.
Yeah, an orange
person.
Sounds
to me like a member of the Blue Man Group. Get him out.
Get him out.
Also, the Blue Man Group would favour a circus as well.
Yeah.
They love that shit.
They do love that shit.
They love that shit.
I was because I was brought up Catholic. I always found that so fascinating that Protestants and Catholics, obviously there's so many different reasons, but at the core of what they both are, it's very similar beliefs.
Absolutely.
But obviously it's way more like social and historical things that yes. divide them. But it feels like it's such a strange thing that two religions, basically the same, are arch enemies.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I've never fully understood it. Even I was also raised Catholic. No idea.
I'm pretty sure I talked about it on an episode.
Yeah, but Dave, we don't listen to you.
Absolutely no.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI.
generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
Idea.
No idea.
Never looked
nothing.
Into it, never heard about it.
Never heard anything.
One of them believes in saints and the other one does not.
I wish someone would.
Oh, we know the differences, but why?
That's, I don't know then, the differences.
But the reason, because one believes in saints and the other one doesn't.
Catholics
I don't think
are
that's
saints,
why they're
right?
brawling.
We like saints, don't we?
We. Yeah. Go to the saints.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
First and only premiership 1966.
Bad example in asking Matt about saints.
But they also, the saints also knocked out the Gary South Shore Railcats from the playoffs a few weeks ago. So love and hate the Saints. Don't like the St. Paul Saints. Those scumbags.
Mm.
Nah, good on them. Well done. It was a great victory. They grafted out a great 3-1 victory there. But next year, your Dogs.
Yeah, we're coming.
That's all
for
I've got to say. I'm coming. The Railcats will rise again.
Is that your statement on the matter?
Yeah, that's official.
Okay,
you can send that to the media.
Oh, we are the media.
We are the media.
I say that often, to be honest.
Well, you are the media.
Yeah. One of my friends, I caught up with some friends just last night, and one of them works for Toyota in like their government environmental. She's doing very well. Anyway, she was talking about something at one point, and then she went, obviously that's a bit of hush-hush though. And I was like, too late, you are speaking to a member of the media, and you didn't say off the record.
Gotcha.
So I was like, I've
and did
tweeted
you raise
all
a,
of
a
this.
A microphone from under the table?
Oh, yeah. I always have a microphone with me anyway, just
always
in case.
Always recording.
Just in case the bar that I'm at decides to turn off the music and start a bit of comedy.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Anyway, funny thing happened to me a couple of weeks ago on the way here. A couple of different setups there.
A couple of weeks ago on the way here. It took me a long time to get to this gig.
And boy, are my arms.
Sweaty.
Oh, it's hot up here. Can I get a drink? Can I get a drink card?
Please.
Am I getting paid? Probably not.
Is this
should
thing
I talk
on?
About this before now, shouldn't yeah. we?
Is this thing on? Oh, the batteries are out of my microphone. Oh. I got a battery-operated microphone that I take with me everywhere.
Well, you're not plugging in everywhere you go, are you?
You can't plug in everywhere you go.
Have you got a megaphone? Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got one of those kids' toys from the 90s where you talked into it and it made your voice sound kind of echoey.
Oh, I loved that. I had one of those.
Of course you did. What colour was it? Green?
It was actually green.
Of course it
what?
Was.
What? Yeah, I'm a green boy.
Green boy.
Yeah.
Oh, no more orange men.
I'm a green man as well. Favourite colour, green. There you go. I said it.
Wow.
I said it. I don't regret it.
Mine's blue. I'm in the blue woman group.
I'm also blue.
Oh, a couple of blues.
The best
color. We have talked about this in the
so
blue
many
versus
times.
Pink episode.
We've talked about it a lot. It comes up too often, to be honest, for three adults to talk about their favorite colors.
All right, we haven't said our second favorite color.
Yellow.
Green.
Orange.
Oh, yours don't even go.
Maybe yellow.
You're a second class orange man. Third class orange man.
Yeah.
I like yellow. I wear a bit of yellow. Love a mustard.
Oh, you do big time.
Yeah, I love a mustard.
I tell you what, though. Mustard bloody loves you.
Oh, get out of it, you bloody.
Nah,
all right. Come on.
Nah, come on. I've wanted to say this a long time. You and mustard just go so good together. I reckon you guys are great. Honestly.
Can't tell if Matt's talking to ketchup or Jess.
Both. I am ketchup. Why
ketchup,
can't I talk
what?
Today?
You go together.
Look, ketchup's
so
not a word that I've, you know, you probably.
Ketchup.
Ketchup. Tommy sauce, mate.
Tommy sauce.
Tommy S.
Anyway, I might go on, I reckon. Do you reckon?
Please. And please cut out that mustard chat.
It's all staying in there. So what I was trying to get at was that the chief of police is an orange man as well and not necessarily qualified for the job that he has, but has been given it because of his...
connections.
Exactly.
Shall we just say connections?
How about, you know, tapping your nose. Connections.
Uh-huh.
Wink. So I'm trying to say it as impartial as possible, but it's probably an important thing to note anyway. By the time they got there, by the time the police got there, it was on. The brawl had started. People were throwing stones. This isn't even the firefighters. This is just a mob. An angry mob has just taken over.
The circus. Is it because they're enslaving animals? Is that the problem?
No. I think it's because they're all orange men.
Right.
So this is just another angry mob coming and be like, you beat up some of ours, now we're going to beat up you. So people throwing stones. The circus performers and the carnies were apparently able to hold off the mob for a while, but it couldn't last. Eventually, they were overwhelmed by the crowd, and when the hook and ladder boys arrived...
I'm just so overwhelmed by you guys right now.
I can't even.
12 minutes of standing ovation. It's just a bit much.
I'm feeling so many things.
Thank you so much.
Apparently, I did read somewhere that somebody rang the fire bell, and then the hook and ladder firefighters, the ones who were in the original fight, sort of came past and then just kind of, I think there was a fire. There was something was on fire and they let it burn because they're like, eh. And then they got involved in the brawl as well. So that's good fun. They stormed the circus with pikes and axes. They overturned wagons. They pulled down the tents and the big top and they set fire to them. That's where the fire was.
Oh, right.
I knew there was a fire in there somewhere.
So like, the hook and ladder boys are setting fire to stuff. They're ringing the bell and they're going, we're setting the fire.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that out.
You really don't need
they
to.
They ring the bell like, damn it.
Now I got to put it out.
You know we have the bell code.
Fireman's code. You got
to
do it.
They listen to that code. Circus folk ran for their lives. Some
did any of them release the bears or the lions or anything?
No, I don't. I think the animals probably would have turned on them, to be honest.
Right, fair enough.
You know, elephants are like, captors.
Finally, we can kick the shit out of these guys.
We're free. So it was complete mayhem. And then the mayor turned up and things calmed down a tiny bit.
He's walking around with a sash.
Well, no, this is my favourite thing. I think this sentence is straight of like an Edgar Wright film. So this is a sentence about the mayor. It says, he kept a fireman from killing a clown with an axe by grabbing it out of his hands. So I'm just imagining like a mayor just in a suit casually walking through a brawl and like taking an axe. I'm like, nah, keep that here. Enough of that. The mayor called in the militia to take control of the situation and only then did the mob start to disperse. So it was an absolute mess.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real hullabaloo.
It was a bit of a hullabaloo. And following the riot, all of the police present testified that they were unable to identify any participants.
Because they were orange men.
One constable said that it was too dark, couldn't see anyone. While another suggested that the riot had been carefully orchestrated to include only individuals not known to the police.
They brought in people from out of town.
Is that orchestrated?
Very.
I guess it is.
Yeah, that's quite orchestrated, yeah.
And beforehand, they're like, do the police know you? Yep, get out. Do they know you? No, you're in.
That was it. That was the vetting process.
Grab an axe.
Because the police are on the, are they on the orange side or the?
Yeah. The police are all
so
orange.
They're on the car. They're with the circus.
No.
Aren't the circus people orange?
No.
No, the firefighters, the hook and ladder boys.
Firefighters.
So right. Everyone in the town, not everyone, but most people in the town were orange men.
Wow. It does feel like that Edgar Wright movie where they're all blue people.
Hot fuzz. It does have a hot fuzz feel about it.
Got that hot fuzz feel.
That's a good feel. So, yeah, it was too dark or it was orchestrated, so I didn't know anyone. These very interesting memory lapses mirrored police work during other incidences like the fireman on fireman brawl earlier that month and the ongoing Protestant Catholic street battles. All the police were like, I'm not sure.
Do they like that all the time though?
Yeah.
I don't know who did it.
Well, yeah, because they're protecting their own. So the firemen on fireman brawl, they're like, well, I'm not sure who was there.
And if then, everyone's...
like, a bunch of Catholics are getting beaten up. They're like, I can't tell you who did it. No idea. Didn't see. Couldn't tell who it was. But they definitely probably did know. So the press and the public protested loudly at this perceived favouritism, and an investigation was launched. And it highlighted deep problems with the city police force. Even Chief Sherwood himself had eventually shown up to this riot with the clowns, but could only claim to have stopped the rioters from setting fire to the cages of animals.
Oh, that's good.
So he stopped them from that, so that's good.
They were going to set fire to the animals?
Yeah, it seems weird, doesn't it?
That's the orange people.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But of the 17 people who were charged in the riot, only one was ever convicted. So it was people were sort of claiming that it was all a big cover-up.
You feel unlucky if you're that one person.
Yeah.
You'd be like, why didn't I get off?
Sorry, mate. Everyone hates you.
Yeah. You suck.
Even the orange people.
Yeah. You're the worst orange.
Your orange and poppy seed muffins that you bring to the meetings are dog shit.
They're terrible.
They're dry and stale. And wet at the same time somehow.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Why do you do that? So a few months later, there was another Protestant versus Catholic riot, and Chief Sherwood's memory was again suspiciously fuzzy as far as Orangemen were concerned. So people are going, was this person involved? He's like, well, I don't know.
Sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh. A few months after that, he was under fire again after freeing a suspect who had been accused of robbing a bank. So he's not a great cop anyway.
Not even a cop.
No, he's not. The police constables at the time, right, they were just appointed at the whim of the city councillors, and no particular training was offered or required. They're just like, you want to be a cop? All right, you're in. The Globe.
No, I don't know.
You're in.
You're in.
Oh, but
nope.
I already said you're in.
Oh, I was on the way home for lunch.
Yeah, on your way home to the police barracks.
Yeah.
You're in.
Your new home. You orange?
Okay.
You're in.
You orange, you're in. You got an orange, you got a gym.
They're doing curls with an orange.
You got an orange, then you got a gym.
It's the fruit of a thousand uses. For example, oh, God.
Such a versatile fruit.
Eating, one.
That's one.
Juicing, two. Three, use it as free weights. Four, et cetera.
Beautiful. There was a report done by the Globe, and the inquiry revealed that once a constable was appointed, this is a quote, says, he receives a baton the next day, but no instruction whatever accompanying it. So we're basically like, you're in, here's your weapons.
What do I do with this?
And they got no idea what they're doing.
Do I look like a teacher?
This system meant that, because it was, you know, it was all to do with who you know. So this system meant that constables were far more beholden to political power than to their actual superiors. So during the inquiry, when asked, what charge do you have over the force as chief of police? Chief Sherwood replied, a very small one indeed. And he went on to say, I give orders and instructions to the force, but I can't get them obeyed. As soon as I'm out of sight, the men do as they please.
Oh, man. You are not good at your job.
Yeah. Well, it feels a little bit like, A, you're definitely not good at your job, but B, you're also deflecting blame. A bit there too. Like, I can't.
I am with you. Yeah. They should behave better.
They don't do what I tell them. Yeah. They do whatever they want.
As the chief of police, I can't be expected to act as some sort of chief.
Yeah.
Buck has to stop somewhere, and it's with all of them.
Yeah.
Not with me. But by then, there had been a mayoral election, and for the first time in more than...
They elected a mayoral.
A mayoral.
Meryl Bainbridge?
Streep, obviously. How dare you.
Sorry, Bainbridge. Runner up again.
For the first time in more than 20 years, a Liberal Reform Party candidate had won. So the City Council called for deep reforms to the way Toronto's police force was run, and the government of Canada West agreed. While the inquiry didn't change anything overnight, its revelations were the beginning of the end for the corrupt, inefficient, and archaic policing system of the day. The City Council made several attempts to form a policing board of commissioners, But it wasn't until 1858 that an approved board was able to formulate a new design for the police department. So in February of 1859, the entire police force was fired.
Whoa.
About time.
Although almost half of them were rehired.
About right, time.
You're fired. Half of you, rehired. Which ones? Work it out amongst yourselves.
Yeah, figure it out.
What? I can't be, what? All of a sudden now I have to do everything. Great.
Great. Wonderful. Okay, I've got to do inventory. I've got to sit at the reception desk. And I've got to police.
I've already fired the whole force. And I've been working my ass off in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. And now what? I've got to rehire him. Oh.
You ever fired 8,000 people in one go? Well, I just did.
Huh? How do you do it? Mass email, I guess?
Yeah.
Do you have to get him into a big meeting room?
No, Chinese like whispers. You tell one person, they tell one person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but whisper it.
That spreads.
Take one, pass it along.
That just says fast.
You're fired.
It has a picture of Donald Trump on it.
And half of them on the back says you're hired.
Yeah, that's a good way, 50-50.
Mm-hmm. It says you're fired, PTO. And then you turn it over and it either says you're hired or it says seriously get the fuck out.
What a roller coaster.
So, yeah, half of them, around half, got rehired. Many of those that were rehired were recruits post-circus riot. So a lot of the ones that were maybe still there who were sort of in the corrupt times.
So there was some sort of system to the rehiring.
Seems to be. It took nearly 100 years before the Orange Order stranglehold. Stranglehold on power in Toronto was finally broken. A regulatory regime was put into place, which is similar to what is used today, and this event is credited with influencing the current policing system in Toronto.
Wow.
Wow, there you go.
Strangleholding an orange normally results in juice.
Mm-hmm.
Love orange juice.
How good is it? It's refreshing.
Oh, my God. It's so yummy.
I've probably told you this before, but I can't. If I ever go to sleep dehydrated, I dream of sculling orange juice.
You've not told us that. And that's great.
I'll just have like whole dreams of just sculling orange juice, unlimited, just necking it.
Wow.
That is so odd.
What does it mean?
It means you're thirsty.
You're longing to be an orange man.
Honestly, it's not that hard. You're just thirsty.
Do you drink much orange juice in your day-to-day life?
No.
I drink a glass every day and I don't have that dream. So take a leaf out of my book.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe my body's telling me something. I used to drink it, then I heard that it's just like it's all the worst parts of the orange. It's all the fructose without any of the fiber.
I think that's true.
Oh. Dave doesn't want to believe that that's true.
I don't want to believe because it's so nice in the morning. I don't drink coffee. I drink orange juice. Yeah. Every day, one glass.
Just one?
You know what's better for you? Grape juice.
Grape juice or grapefruit? Grapefruit juice?
Yeah, grapes are fruit, Dave.
Grape juice is talking wine. To a child. Is that what you're talking about? Wine?
Talking about wine?
Wine, yeah.
Do you have a glass of wine in the morning?
Yeah, a rosé or a Riesling.
A rosé.
Or a Chardonnay.
Or a Shiraz.
Or a Shiraz or a Cab Sauv. Or a Merlot.
Do you have one of each?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
A sip of each.
It's all the best bits of the grape.
Do you do a wine tasting every morning?
Yes.
What is your life?
I do a cellar door. I live in a cellar door.
Do you have a cheese plate to
get? Yes.
Oh, best part.
I have cheese on my Cocoa Pops.
And wine?
Yes.
Fuck, your life is
what
the best.
What do you do?
Coffee and toast, probably. Some
at your
yogurt.
Cellar door.
A banana.
Oh, a banana.
Yeah, I have a bit of a banana.
Hmm.
I'm a fancy lady.
Ooh.
I eat bananas.
Lady finger banana.
Banana. Anyway, that
banana,
was...
yeah.
That was the end of my report.
Banana. What? Yeah.
What a wacky story.
That is wacky.
And I forgot to mention who suggested that. That was suggested by Sarah Young from Melbourne.
Thank
Sarah
you, Sarah.
Sarah Young will change your mind. Little Triple J hit for Jess there.
Yep.
I talk your language, youth.
What
from
song?
10 years ago.
What song is that?
I don't know.
Sarah Hanson-Young, the Green Senator, perhaps?
No, it's no. Wait, is it Diane Young? Diane Young by Vampire Weekend. It doesn't matter. Not a great song. It's fine. Whatever. Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry, Sarah. You deserve more.
It was just it's such a weird and wacky story. Cool.
I just remembered one of my parents' favourite shows, and whenever I stay at their house, they're often watching, is it's called Murdoch Mysteries. Have you heard of this show?
Yep.
It's set in Toronto in the, I believe, 1890s.
Yep.
And it's about the Toronto Constabulary.
Yep.
And they are often talking about Catholicism and little religious things. You seen the show?
My mum loves it too.
Oh, my parents can't get enough of Murdoch.
Mum just loves like crime shows. Any crime show, she's all about it.
It's pretty good though. If you're a Do Go On listener, and it's pretty cool because they have references like the Wright brothers appear in it.
Yeah.
Charlie Chaplin appears in
Tesla. I walked in on someone watching it, a real embarrassing moment. And
I'm so sorry, I should have knocked.
I mean, they were masturbating at the same time.
Murdoch or Tesla. And Tesla was in it and he'd invented some sort of a thing that ended up being the weapon to finish the show. I only watched the last 5 minutes. I'm like, what a wild ride.
Whoa.
There was a horse and car chase with a Tesla weapon on the back.
It's pretty wild, but it's quite enjoyable.
Okay, because it looked stupid to me.
Yeah,
but
I think it's dumb. It's
silly, definitely. But I wonder if I ask my parents if there's any mention of these orange people.
Mm.
Orange Order.
Orange Order.
Do they live among us still?
Yeah. They're in Australia.
Right. Mm. Are we talking like all the way to the top sort of stuff?
Maybe.
Any triangles? Any orange triangles out there?
I don't know.
Oh, David know about it. Oh, lizard lips, Dave. Lizard lips.
Jesus. They don't even have lips. You telling me I don't have lips?
You don't have lips. Did you think you had lips?
All this time.
Dave, no, really? Come on. Stop pissing around. You know you don't have lips.
I've got scales on my face.
Oh, yuck. Stop doing that.
Tastes like a lizard.
Should we do what we always do at the end of the show?
Yes.
And thank people for listening thus far. And thanks to everyone that supports the show through Patreon, patreon.com/dogoonpod. That's where you can, support the show. If you think it's worth a buck or two or a few every month, you can go to Patreon. And in exchange for your monetary support, we'll give you bonus stuff like pre-sales. We'll give you a shout-out. We'll give you two bonus episodes every single month.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of cool stuff. You know, we talk to our patrons, ask what, get them to influence the show a bit more. So you can do that.
You can be an influencer.
Yes.
The dream.
Be our boss.
Yeah. Be our boss.
And one thing Matt does is at a certain level, if you contribute every single month, you get to give us, what is it called, Matt?
Fact, quote, or question.
Ding.
Poop.
And you also get to give you also get to give yourself a title. This week's fact, quote, or questioner is Danielle Summers, and she's sticking with her title that she gave herself last time, which is this week's Ringo.
Ah, we do need a Ringo.
And Danielle is ours.
Love that so much, yes.
And she's offered us a quote from Ellen DeGeneres.
You've been going for quotes lately. I love it.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres.
What's Ellen got to say?
You have won a jackpot.
This would have been appropriate potentially last week. She said, accept who you are, unless you're a serial killer.
Then you should change.
Oh,
that's
Ellen.
What Ellen's getting at.
She's...
For shame, Ellen. For shame.
She's a motivator.
So she's basically saying that just so people that are serial killers can't sue her and say, Ellen told me to keep doing this. Yeah.
When you get to her level, I'm sure that's exactly what would happen. Everything, cover your level. Ass.
Everything she says has an asterisk.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It has to.
But, I mean, there's a lot of people that she didn't put a caveat there for.
Yeah, what about, like...
What about one-time killers, for instance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
But maybe you can accept that and move on and never kill again.
Right. Oh, I guess if you're a one-time killer, you're never going to kill again.
Yeah. And accept it.
Hmm.
That's all right then.
Accept who you are.
Danielle, is this what you were getting the meaning from this?
Yeah. I hope you've enjoyed this.
Accept who you are. Oh, geez, I reckon she would have delivered it differently. She would have done it dancing over a table. Accept who you are, unless you're a serial killer.
We'll be right back.
Confetti cannon.
Yeah. Poo!
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Justin Bieber after the break.
Woohoo!
Anyway, I was saying to Portia the other day, accept who you are, unless you're a serial killer.
Which I hope she's not, because she's been hiding from me for a long time.
But she is from Australia. They're all bloody convicts down there, am I right? And scene. Bieber after the break. We're going to play Dog Dog, Horse or Bieber.
some crazy thing like that.
Dog Dog, Horse.
We're going to ask Bill Gates how much he pays for milk.
Good fun.
Dog Dog. Is it dog, comma dog, or is it dog one answer?
I think it should be two dogs, horse or beaver.
Yeah.
Of course, sorry, I should have known.
Who said this? Baby, oh. Was that two dogs, a horse, or Justin Bieber? Ooh, thinking music.
Who pooped on this rug?
Dog, horse, or Bieber?
Bieber! Bieber is correct.
You want a car?
Bad boy. And then they hit Justin Bieber with a newspaper. Anyway, let's thank some Patreons.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Danielle, first of all.
I think we should name... Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, pick a colour and give them some kind of order or group, but maybe it would be more fun to put them into occupations and who they would brawl.
Okay, great. Yeah, great.
Is that better?
Well, we could group two together.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right. So we'll give... I reckon... Okay, great. All right. How about this? Can I thank somebody from Texas...
Oh, please.
Texas in the United States of America. Morgan Clark.
Accountant.
Oh, Jess, from you, that's stinging.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's a slap to the face.
I
like accountants.
Okay, so it's personally. Not a slap then, is it?
Well, if I said accountant, that would have been a compliment.
All right, can you say accountant then, please? Because that's the feeling I'm getting here.
I'm going to say accountant.
Ah, okay.
Morgan, I'm going to say sassy accountant.
Sassy accountant?
So every they'll ask for your, what have you got to deduct this year?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say, oh, here's my list of, I bought this computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Dell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sassy.
And then he's...
But you just did the other bit before where you said, what are you going to deduct? And
I mean, let's not ask questions now. Adele. Dave, you're the account. All right, great.
Adele. You think you can claim that? More like a dill.
Okay.
That's just mean, not sassy.
Quite sassy.
I mean, this is just confirming my thoughts on accountants, isn't it?
Thank you so much for doing all your work. Here's a basket of fruit.
What do I look like? A member of Agent Orange or whatever that thing is? You just been sassed.
I don't think it was Agent Orange.
Let's be honest, can people from H&R Block make jokes better than that? Probably not.
Oh, definitely not.
I'd also love to thank from Henderson in NV. NV. What could NV be?
Nevada.
Nevada. Oh, it would be Nevada, I guess. Henderson, Nevada. That's where Las Vegas is from, I believe.
That's true. Where Las Vegas is from. It is Nevada.
I'd love to thank Tiger Lapira.
Okay, so Tiger.
That is a great name.
It's a great name.
Tiger
Morgan
is?
Morgan Clark v. Tiger Lapira.
Accountant v.
Horse.
Whisperer.
Oh, okay. I guess horse isn't a...
I don't know if I felt like, what are we doing here? What is this?
Horse Whisperer.
Horse Whisperer versus... Oh, imagine... you've got... So what have you got on each other's side? The Horse Whisperer can be like... Pss, 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 and then horses will come and take on the accountants. But what can the accountants summon? Pencils?
Yeah, calculators. Abacus.
The IRS.
Magneto uses metal.
Yeah.
Accountants can do the same with
I don't remember pencils. Saying they had magical powers in any of these contexts.
No, bring in the IRS. They can shut down anything, baby.
Oh, even a horse.
They'll shut down a horse, all right.
They'll shut down any horse business from this side of Texas.
No problem.
Which is
trading,
Nevada.
You're done.
Don't you even bloody worry about that, mate.
I will no longer worry.
Well, I would like to thank a couple people as well, if I
Morgan,
may.
Morgan, V. Tiger. Who wins?
Morgan.
Yeah, accountants.
Yeah. There's more of them in the world than horse whisperers, isn't there?
Tiger, the fear of the horse whisperers.
I would like to thank from London. Hopefully we will see you at our live show very soon. I would like to thank Augie M.
Augie
Mystery.
M.
Mystery last name. Augie.
Augie M. Augie M.
March?
March. Marching band.
That's their occupation?
Marching band conductor.
They're from... Oh, great stuff.
I mean, it's all conductors?
Yes.
That's some sort of a conductor
convention?
No,
I'm sure they have their band.
Oh, their bands in them.
I mean, well, the clowns weren't just... The fire... You know? Oh, well, I guess the firefighters were just firefighters and clowns were just clowns. Hard.
No, I like that. So they're conducting like Tuberman.
Yeah.
Take on them.
The guy's name is Grant Tuberman.
Plays the violin.
What? Did you get a fright, Dave?
I got a big fright.
Did you think that bottle was a gun?
Oh, I thought it was a glass gun.
Oh, dear. You're a bit of an idiot, aren't you?
Augie, save me.
So Augie is conducting the marching band against, from Singleton, New South Wales,
ooh,
Jonathan Wheelhouse.
Ooh, what's in his wheelhouse? Singleton. He's a solo operator. What's a solo?
He works for Kraft.
Singles.
Oh,
single, singles division. In charge of Kraft.
He's a cheeseman.
He's a cheesemaker. Cheesemonger.
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 So it was a cheesemonger versus
marching band.
I wonder who will win.
I'm going to say marching band.
They're going to march all over that shit.
Yeah, sorry, Jonathan, but Augie and his marching band have kicked your butt.
They're going to crush you, mate.
They have destroyed you. Soz. But don't, you know, sometimes it's not that great to always work solo. If you had more people behind you, maybe this wouldn't have happened. That's what I'm saying. Dave, would you like to thank some people?
All right, I would like to thank, from Doncaster in South Yorkshire, Ellis Middleton.
Duchess of Cambridge impersonator.
Is there a union of them? How many are there?
Heaps.
There would be heaps, wouldn't
there? Obviously, yeah.
And is Ellis Middleton one of the better ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spot on.
Top notch.
Alice, uncanny. You did great work. Thank you so much for your support from Doncaster in South Yorkshire. And you are going to have a fight with...
What kind of events do you require such a
anything Kate doesn't want to go to?
Oh, right. So like a fill-in. It's not like...
Body
she
double.
Does
she's a body double.
She doesn't do footy club.
Full body. Oh, I thought it was going to be stuff like that, like a fake award ceremony.
So did I, but now I've changed it to body double.
Oh, so that she's actually employed by the Queen.
Yep, for safety.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, take him...
It's noble. You put yourself on the line every time.
Yep.
You go into a school and you have to listen to people talk for hours and pretend you care. It's amazing. I would also like to thank, from Launceston in Cornwall. My God, we've got rival counties going at each other here. I would like to thank George Francis.
George Francis.
Who is a bungee jump instructor.
Ooh, love that. Love that.
Versus the Duchess's body doubles.
Once again, I feel like there's going to be more bungee jump instructors in the world.
Yeah. Plus, if what's happening, like if the impersonators are on some sort of in a valley.
Yeah.
And the bungee jumpers are coming at them from above, they could just dip down, punch them in the head and be gone.
Oh, they're gone. Where they gone?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, and they're back for more. Oh, they're gone again.
How are they doing this?
They're coming back increasingly fast. Now they're just hanging there, punching me in the face. What's happening? George. Francis.
Help me.
Thank you so much, Georgie boy. Appreciate that. Or girl.
Augie M, by the way, is Augie Marigna. That's not probably not quite right, but closer to Augie Marigna.
Oh, Marigna.
Was that worth
it? Fixed it. Well, I just thought she might have, or he might have been like, oh, why'd they not say my name?
Yeah, properly. No, of course. Yeah.
That's not just us giving up on the name. We tried and
so
failed.
Whether or not you think it's worth it is probably moot. It's more about Augie.
You are correct. I'm sorry for ever sassing you.
Well, that does bring us to the end of another episode of Do Go On. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, if you want to get in contact, all the links and everything are in the description of this episode, or one place to suggest a topic or link to anything, including Patreon, is dogoonpod.com.
Is that our website?
Yes.
Do Go On Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and...
Butts.
Butts. If you see a butt...
Just yell, Do Go On Pod at it.
Also YouTube. / Do Go On Pod.
Yes.
That comes after butts.
There's also a podcast called Primates Podcast, which we're doing about primates in popular culture. And you should check it out. There's a YouTube channel for that as well, Primates, PRIMEMATES Pod, on YouTube and also on Facebook and Instagram and all those.
And probably
things.
More importantly, it's on all the podcasting apps and Spotify and such.
Yes, it'd be great to check it out. I'm on every episode. Dave and Jess are on pretty bloody regularly. And
we're friends.
We're going to be back next week here at Do Go On for the beginning of Blocktober Buster.
Buster.
Is that what we're going with? Okay, Blocktober Buster. It's locked in. Buster, TM. Buster.
I think next week I'll have a, you know, someone will probably have told me something better by then. But at the moment, that's what I'm going with. Blocktober
Buster. 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 I'm doing the echo because I don't know how to edit that into the podcast later. So I'm doing it now live.
Yeah.
Well, people probably would have thought that you'd done it in post.
Yeah, very talented. Mm. I'm like that guy from Police Academy. I can make funny noises.
Michael Winslow. I didn't hear anybody laughing. Did you?
Meow, meow, meow. That's a siren.
That was so good. You didn't even have to explain it to me.
Thank you.
Do a chainsaw. Now man of a thousand noises. Matt, do a chainsaw.
I was just about to say, just stepping on my toes a little bit.
Yeah, really going for us.
And they all did sound kind of like the things that I'm in a cello, which is sort of against
the
chainsaw. Spirit of
all. You're just talking your way out of it now. That chainsaw needs to be looked at by a technician.
Yeah,
it sounds
like a tiger being trapped in a flamethrower.
Yeah. Is that tiger okay?
Sorry, that tiger and the flamethrower was right next to the chainsaw. Do you want the chainsaw next?
Yeah, yeah, chainsaw, please. Right,
ready? Here it is.
Oh, okay. That's a baby tiger. Very scared because its parent has just been trapped in it.
Yeah, and burned alive in front of it.
I think I misunderstood again. What did you want me to do?
A chainsaw. Chop me down a tree.
Come
maybe.
On. We've
no,
got to
baby
get out
tiger.
Of here. Oh, jeez.
Chainsaw. Okay, great.
No baby tiger. That's an elephant. He's never going to be able to do
it's
it.
It's an elephant chopping down a tree.
Look, I mean
same job.
If you could just put it in a plain English what you're asking for, and I'll give it to you.
An electric chainsaw.
Oh, okay, sure.
Not oil-powered, electric-powered.
Right, electric. Okay, ready? That was just plugging in, all right?
That's what a plugging in sounds like.
Right. Is there a draft outside?
Yes, there is. Sorry. Now on with the chainsaw. Here we go.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, he's done it again. That was amazing.
No, so that last one was the one
I actually hid under the table. Not that that'd be much protection from a chainsaw, but very well done. That was scary.
You never know which way the tree's going to fall.
Okay. Well, until next week, we'll have some more noises. But until then, I will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.